वासुदेवाय। ओम। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 10 एंटाइटल्ड डेलिवरेंस ऑफ द यमल अर्जुन ट्रीज टेक्स्ट 36। नमः परम कल्याण नमः परम मंगला वासुदेव शांताय यदुनाम पतये नमः। ट्रांसलेशन। ओ सुप्रीमली ऑस्पिशियस वी ऑफर अवर रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस अन्टू यू हु आर द सुप्रीम गुड ओ मोस्ट फेमस डिसेंडेंट एंड कंट्रोलर ऑफ द यदु डायनेस्टी ओ सन ऑफ वसुदेव ओ मोस्ट पीसफुल Let us offer our obeisances unto your lotus feet. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The word Paramakalyana is significant because Krishna, in any of His incarnations, appears in order to protect the sadhus. Paritranaya sadhunam. The sadhu, saintly persons or devotees, are always harassed by non-devotees. And Krishna appears in his incarnations to give them relief. This is his first concern. If we study the history of Krishna's life, we shall find that for most of his life, he predominantly engaged in killing demons one after another. Just read the translation again. O supremely auspicious, We offer our respectful obeisances unto you, who are the supreme good. O most famous descendant and controller of the Yadu dynasty, O son of Vasudev, O most peaceful, let us offer our obeisances unto your lotus feet. Hare Krishna. So I am grateful to be given an opportunity to speak something about this glorious pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas so I can speak something valuable. So in this particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that Krishna has just delivered these two demigods, Nalakoir and Manigreev, and they are offering their prayers to Lord Krishna. So they speak basically about four qualities of Krishna, which they are most obviously seen here. First thing they say is that Krishna is Paramakalyana, means supremely auspicious. The second thing they're saying is that Krishna is Paramamangala. He only does good for others. And then they say that he is Shantaya, that means he is very peaceful. And finally they say that he is Pataye, that means he is the controller. So these four qualities of Krishna stand out from this particular verse. And if you analyze each of these four, they actually have so much to say about this personality of Lord Krishna. When we say that Krishna is Kalyana or auspicious, what does it mean? So these two people, Nalakoir and Manigreev, the body of a tree, when you are in the body of a tree, it's considered to be a very abominable species because you can't do much. And because they did something abominable, they got a very abominable species. So the material body is a manifestation of your desire. And the 84 lakh species of life are 84 lakh varieties of possibilities in which a person can try to enjoy. You cannot enjoy more than that in a different way. So even your desire to enjoy is fixed to 84 lakh varieties. So the very fact that we have a certain type of body with a certain type of consciousness, with a certain type of externals, indicates that we have a certain type of desire which is manifesting through this body. So one gets a material body depending on the desire that he expressed in his previous life. And the desire that he expressed manifests in the form of a body. So, because Nalakoir and Manigreev desired to stay naked, they got the body of a tree, which facilitated them to remain like that. So in this particular story, it very clearly shows how these two people, their life has transformed from being inauspicious to being auspicious. How? Just by the connection with Krishna. So whenever Krishna comes into our lives transform from being inauspicious to being auspicious. Like if you study the Chaitanya-charitamrita, the section where all the Navadvip Vasis, the residents of Navadvip, they were in the midst of the most ill omen, the night on which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born. That day was practically the most inauspicious time. But because the Lord appeared, that became the most auspicious. So that was a time when everybody was standing in the middle of the river, you know, and shouting out the holy names of the Lord, chanting Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. So that was the time when the Lord appeared. So now the point is it auspicious because the Lord appeared, or is it that it was inauspicious and therefore they chanted the holy name of the Lord? It's actually both. When something is inauspicious, the inauspicious part becomes auspicious when you chant the holy names of the Lord. And whenever there is something auspicious going on, naturally the Supreme Lord personally manifests over there. So here in this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find that the most inauspicious time transformed into the most auspicious time because the Lord incarnated in the form of the holy names. And of course, the Lord personally incarnated also. In the story of Gajendra, the elephant, being caught by a crocodile wouldn't be considered to be very auspicious, right? And just imagine what situation he was in. Blood all over his body, you know, struggling, very weak, frustrated, mind. So when somebody is frustrated, when somebody is, you know, not able to focus on any one thing, naturally his state of mind is very inauspicious. So Gajendra was in the toughest crisis of his life, both physically, mentally and emotionally. Physically because a crocodile was catching his leg and it was bleeding. Mentally because he was being tortured by the fact that he has lost his false ego. The king of the elephant community, Gaja Indra, he has become, you know, almost like a insignificant animal in front of the crocodile. And emotionally, it's a traumatic situation because all the people whom he gave his life to, none of them are able to help him. Just imagine how emotionally disturbing it could be, right? Like when Narada Muni met Valmiki and he spoke about how your life is inauspicious because you're committing so many sins. Valmiki said, "Don't worry, what do you mean by inauspicious? Because I am doing these sins for my wife and children. My wife and children are there to share everything with me." Narada Muni said, "You are mistaken. Try to go and ask your wife and children, are they ready to share your sins?" That was the time he realized when he went to his wife, asked her, "Are you ready to share my sins? I'm doing so much just for you." She said, "You are my husband. This is your duty. And I'm your wife. I'm supposed to only take all the pious, you know, reactions from you, not the sinful ones." The children, they said that, "You're our father. You're supposed to maintain us. We don't care how you maintain us. You have to maintain us. And we are so small. Now this is not the time to take sin and all." He said, you work it out. So Valmiki realized that this is the most inauspicious time in his life. And that's when he realized that he has to surrender. So Gajendra, when he realized that mentally, physically and emotionally, he is helpless, frustrated, the most inauspicious thing is happening in his life, that time he realized to do the most auspicious thing. What is the most auspicious thing? To chant the holy names of the Lord. Call out to the Lord and seek shelter. Draupadi's life, the most inauspicious thing in a woman's life was happening. She is being stripped naked. Of course, voluntarily stripping naked is different. That is considered to be something glorious nowadays. But somebody who involuntarily is being stripped naked, for that person it's a very, very inauspicious thing. And for her, auspiciousness came into her life when she took the holy name. So here, Nalakuvar and Manigreve, they didn't even have the facility to take the holy name of the Lord. But because the devotee of the Lord previously had predicted that Krishna will come into your life, Krishna came. So for us, we may not actually be chanting the holy names with the right mindset that Krishna will come into our lives. But if a devotee of the Lord says that Krishna will come into your life, that is a hope for us. So even though we don't deserve, Krishna will come. And again, this concept of being inauspicious. Traditionally, Krishna can actually challenge all our conceptions of what is auspicious and inauspicious. You know, like in Mathura, when Krishna entered Mathura and he fought with this elephant, Kolyapid, and then he was walking towards the wrestling arena. So Krishna and Balaram, externally from the Karmakandi perspective, they were in the most inauspicious, you know, attire. Blood was dripping all over their body, elephant's blood. They were carrying a bone in their hand. You know, you can imagine if somebody carries a bone, it's considered to be very inauspicious. If you attend a dead, if you go to a funeral, you have to immediately have a bath because you're inauspicious. So Krishna, and what to speak of murdering somebody, killing something, right? Krishna and Balaramji acted like a butcher, killed this elephant just now. They're carrying the bones of this elephant on their shoulders and blood is pouring all over. And plus, they are sweating because of the hard labor. On top of that, the dirt from the wrestling arena is all over their body. This is the way Krishna Balaram look at this point. But when different people were looking at this Krishna Balaram, you know, in that fashion, many people concluded different things. There were some brahmanas who were smartha brahmanas, only if seeing from an external perspective. They were the brahmanas of Kamsa, the king. So when they looked at Krishna, they started pointing out, just see, what a boy this is. Totally uncultured. Roaming around with animal bones, you know, blood all over, so dirty, so inauspicious. But they didn't understand that whenever Krishna is there, everything connected to Krishna becomes auspicious out of it. Therefore, Krishna has many names. In the Vishnu Sahasranam, there are many names that speak about this quality of Krishna. Sudarshan, the word Sudarshan means seeing whom is auspicious. When somebody sees Krishna, auspiciousness enters into that person's life. Samihana is another name of Krishna, which means whose desires are auspicious. Krishna's desires are auspicious. Sugosha is another name of Krishna, which means whose sound is auspicious. Whatever he says is auspicious. And Suvrata means who takes auspicious forms. So whatever form Krishna takes is auspicious. And Swasti means the one who is the source of all auspiciousness. And Swasti Bhuk means the one who enjoys all auspiciousness. And Swasti Dakshinaha means the one who can give the charity of auspiciousness to others. That means, actually, when these Nalakuera and Manigiri were saying that Krishna is Parama Mangala, Parama Kalyana, this is what they mean. That anything connected to Krishna becomes auspicious. At present, they have just attended a science of self-realization course in the form of a direct experience, a self-realization experience along with Krishna. You know, they didn't have to attend 6 sessions. In one session, they got it. They were in the body of trees, you know, an abominable species. And in one moment, one touch with Krishna, they got their original forms as the demigods and went back to the heavenly planets. So, we may have to experience it, we may have to hear it hundreds of times to actually understand that yes, connection with Krishna will help us in the same way. But Nalakuera and Manigreve, they got an experiential learning. And when they say that Krishna is Parama Mangala, he does only good for others, what do they mean? When whatever Krishna does, the only thing that is there in the mind of the Lord is how to facilitate and do good for the others. In the Ramayana where Ram just killed Vali, as soon as he killed Vali, he came and he was standing over there. And Tara, the wife of Vali, she came. Just imagine, for a wife whose husband has been killed, and the killer, the murderer is standing in front of her. So most naturally, what will come out from the mouth of the wife will be all kinds of galis, you know, all kinds of bad words. You did this to me, you did that, you did this. But Tara, instead of, you know, criticizing Lord Ram, she's glorifying Lord Ram. She's saying that this personality who's standing in front of me, he knows what is good for all of us. And whatever he has done is for the best. My husband, Vali, I told him so many times, don't do this. You know, don't trouble Sugriv. He never listened because there was a great amount of pride in his heart. So when there is pride, there is always arrogance. And the exhibition of arrogance is in the form of challenging God. So Nalakuvar and Manigriv, because they were proud of their wealth and their connection to Lord Shiva, that pride turned into arrogance of disrespecting a great sage. And disrespecting a great sage is not just disrespecting a great sage, but actually is disrespecting God himself. So when Nalakuvar and Manigriv disrespected Narad Muni, they were cursed to become trees. And when Vali disrespected the power of Lord Ram, which manifested through Sugriv, his own brother, Vali was shot dead and he had to be killed. So a leader is given a certain position because he is expected to be merciful. He is expected to be compassionate. He is expected to give shelter. Only such people are given the positions of leaders. And here, Vali was a leader, and when his brother took shelter of him, he didn't care. So therefore, he deserved that kind of punishment. Nalakuvar and Manigriv, in one sense, they were leaders. But because they were given the position of leadership, they are also expected to act responsibly. But because they didn't, they were given a species where they are not expected to act responsibly. As a tree, what responsibility can you show? Nothing. And that helplessness is the purification process. When a person who is capable is helpless, then he gets purified, understands that when I am given the position, when I am given the respect, better I use it nicely. Otherwise, it will be stripped off me. So Tara, she is glorifying Lord Ram like that, saying how this personality is. So he's only thinking of doing good for others. And when Krishna, you know, the section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, very, very touching actually. When I read this, I first didn't catch it. But then when I thought a little deeply, I realized what a depth this particular verse has. So this is a section where Akrur has brought Krishna Balaram to Mathura. And Krishna Balaram are on the outskirts of Mathura. And you know, the friends of Krishna and the mother and father of Krishna, all of them have appeared over there. They came much before Krishna because Krishna Balaram and Akrur, they got delayed because of that. You know, the Yamuna pastime where Krishna showed his some magic to Akrur. And finally when they reached, Akrur invited Krishna inside Mathura to take rest in his house. Krishna told Akrur that, "I will not come today, I will come tomorrow. You kindly go in and take rest." And it is mentioned that Krishna smiled. Now, it seems to be a very ordinary course of event where Krishna is smiling, telling Akrur, "Go inside, take rest, I will come tomorrow morning." But the acharyas have analyzed it very deeply. This smile of Krishna indicates the sacrifice Krishna is doing for the sake of the world. This smile of Krishna indicates what all Krishna is ready to let go to save the world of demonic forces. What does the smile of Krishna indicate? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna's smile was not a smile. It was tears of lamentation. Because that was the last night he's going to spend with the Rajavasis. So Akrur was taking him inside Mathura to stay in his palace. But Krishna was smiling, thinking that today is the last night I'm going to spend with all the Vrindavan Vasis. And Akrur is calling me inside. And he's smiling. But that smile was not a smile. It was a cry. So externally when you see, you cannot catch it. But when you see through the vision of the acharyas, you can catch the subtle, you know, details. And why was Krishna smiling? Krishna was smiling because of two reasons. First is that, it's a cry I told you. First is that he has to give up the company of all these great exalted devotees whom he loved so much. But the second thing is that he knew that this act of his is extremely important because he has to go ahead and establish dharma. That was the smile of Krishna. So what, therefore Krishna is called over here as Parama Mangala, one who does only good for others. And then Krishna is known as Shantaya, that means one who is peaceful. Again, in the Vishnu Sahasranam, there are three words that describe Krishna, which says, Krishna is Shantaha, that means he is peaceful within. He is Shantihi, that means whose nature, very nature is to be peaceful. And Shantidaha, that means he is the one who can give peace to others. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, this pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entering the Jharkhand forest, it seems to be, from an external perspective, it seems to be something that we don't really connect to. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a sannyasi, very staunch, traditional, you know, and strict sannyasi, entering into a forest to go to some other place. But in the forest, he suddenly sees all these animals, and all the animals start dancing, singing, you know, and embracing each other. For many people, it's different things. For some people, it seems that it is an act of magic. It's an act of, you know, some kind of mysticism that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibits. For some people, you know, they may even say that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was an animal lover. Just see how he loved animals, you know. But from an essential point of view, this indicates how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the one who can bring peace in this world. That means when the Lord comes into people's lives, however inimical you may be from an external perspective, but when Krishna is in the center of your life, there is unity, there is love. And to the extent that tigers and deers are kissing each other, right? A tiger brings his mouth to the deer only for one purpose, to suck its blood and to eat its flesh. But if a tiger can kiss a deer, which never happens, that means that is the extent to which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy can transform the enmity of this world into divine love. So therefore, here he is being called, Krishna is being called Shantaya, the messenger of peace. And then Nalakuer Manigiri call him Pataye. Pataye means he's a controller. Actually, they understand after this whole episode by now that Krishna is very much in control, right? So many years, just imagine this Nalakuer and Manigriv, every day they were standing there only for so many years and Krishna never came to them. And suddenly Krishna decided to come there. Why? That shows that Krishna is fully in control. He can do what he wants when he wants, right? So Nalakuer and Manigriv, can you imagine their plight for all those days before Krishna came? They must be thinking, when will Krishna come? Because Narada Muni has already predicted that Krishna will save you. And Krishna is moving all around them except touching them. Very clearly Nalakuera Manigreva understood that here is the supreme controller. And the day he touched them, that day they went back to their heavenly abodes, right? And probably, I don't know, this is my speculation, Krishna might have played around here and there around them, not touching them, to show that I am in control. I'll come when the day comes, right? And of course, there are many stories in the scriptures, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna very clearly shows how much he is in control of the situation. In the pastime of Samudra Manthan, where the demigods and the demons, both of whom think themselves to be the controllers, were together. Just imagine, the greatest universal controllers who are appointed as controllers are there, the demigods, and the demons who think they are the controllers are there. And the two of them are trying to do something. And none of them are actually able to do it. From the most insignificant act of deciding which mountain to get, how to churn the ocean, they couldn't even know that. The Lord had to tell them, get the Mandara mountain. They couldn't even carry that. The Lord had to get the mountain for them. They couldn't even start churning. Lord had to become the rope, Vasuki. They couldn't even, you know, hold the mountain from sinking in the earth. Lord had to come as Kurma. They couldn't even muster the courage to hold the rope. The Lord had to incarnate in one side. They couldn't even hold the mountain steady. The Lord had to incarnate as Ajita on top. They couldn't even tolerate the heat. The The Lord had appeared as drizzles and rains. So practically, and what to speak of getting the nectar? The Lord had appeared and divided the nectar among themselves. So that is the helplessness of these demigods and the demons. That shows Krishna is actually Pataye, the controller. What to speak of being the controller, Krishna does some things through his devotees which clearly shows that no one is in control except him. Just imagine the hero of the Ramayana, Hanumanji, the one who practically changed the face of the Ramayana, the war, with his own power. When the Mahabharata war happened, where was he? He was on the flag of Arjun, helplessly sitting, doing nothing. And the war was happening in front of him. Can you imagine the war hero of the Ramayana doing nothing? So that shows what the Supreme Lord can do and how much he's in control. So he kept Hanumanji over there to make an indication to the world. You may be Hanumanji according to your understanding, but I don't need you. And if I want to use you, I can use you in any way, right? So, and Hanumanji is a great devotee of the Lord. Happy to be in that position and happy setting an example to the world that a devotee is happy doing nothing or doing everything, still remaining the servant of the Lord. So this is how we understand that Lord is Pataye, the controller. Another thing that comes out very strongly from this story is the theme that how these two people, from loafers, they've become lovers, you know. Actually being loafers. Something funny happened yesterday. I just completed a Journey of Self-Discovery course, 6 sessions. And one boy had been attending these 6 sessions. And this boy is like a bodybuilder and, you know, very strong looking. Actually, he's a fitness trainer. And he was sharing with me something that happened towards the end of the 6 sessions yesterday night. He was telling me, Prabhuji, I'll tell you something from the bottom of my heart. I said, what? He said, Prabhuji, something different has happened in my life. I said, what? He said, for the last 5 days, I have not done something which I have always done in my life. I said, what is that? He said, from the day I have started listening about Krishna, from the day I have started listening and understanding about God, you know, generally when I pass through the roads on my bike, I am always in the mood that, you know, I'm in control. And, you know, I'm always thinking that whenever I see young girls around, I whistle at them, I fool around. He said, for the last 5 days, I have not done any of those things. For me, I knew it was a sign that Krishna consciousness is touching him. And just imagine for him, the one who has been all life long thinking that he's in control, he's in, you know, actually in he can do what he wants. For him, just imagine what a change it is. Therefore, when Krishna enters into people's lives, we may be the greatest loafers, but then we are helplessly turned into lovers. And here are, and how Krishna does it is so interesting. Krishna understands what they are going through. Nalakuver and Manigreev, they are going through a punishment for the last 1,000 years. So many thousands of years. They're going through a punishment. What it means to be punished, very heavy for the heart, right? So, to deliver them, first Krishna himself got punished so that they can identify with him, you know. So here is Krishna, a punished boy, just like them, the punished people, right? So Manigreev and Nalakuver were punished, so was Krishna. But here, even after being punished, Krishna can liberate. That showed them a lot of hope. So here is somebody who is punished by his mother and still he can liberate somebody, right? And both of them, very interestingly, were punished by devotees only. Narad Muni punished Nalakuver and Manigreev, and Yashoda, the supreme devotee, punished Krishna. But both of them concluded the same way. Krishna concluded that the punishment of Yashoda Mai, his devotee, is a supreme bliss, is a supreme lesson that I learned. And the punishment of Narad Muni, which Nalakuver and Manigreev concluded, they also concluded the same thing. The most auspicious thing that ever happened in our life. Narad Muni punished us, right? But very interesting, I was just wondering how Krishna is so amazing. He kind of associated himself with them. And when they could identify with him, he helped them, right? So many times, as people who are trying to help others, when you identify with the person what he is going through and fit in his shoes, which is called as empathy, actually being in the shoe of the person, then you try to help him, that person is more touched. Rather than you showing some compassion from top, right? So Krishna put himself in the shoes of Nalakuer and Manigriv and helped them. So they could experience and value this association of Krishna much more. And of course, another very powerful lesson that comes out from this understanding is that how Maya can trap us when you're puffed up. So Nalakuer and Manigriv were completely puffed up. And exactly at that point of time, Maya trapped them. And not just trapped them, sealed them as trees. You know, Roma Harshina Sutta, when he showed the nature of being puffed up, Balramji came and interfered. Shukracharya, just imagine, just such an interesting thing. Shukracharya, he was so much puffed up by Maya, because of the influence of Maya, thinking that he is in control of the situation, he actually got himself trapped inside that pot, you know, the kamandalu, you know. He trapped himself to not let the water flow. And Vamanadeva had to actually, you know, remove him from the trap. So when somebody is under the influence of Maya, the external energy of the Lord, he can go to any extent to undo situations. And so greed for wealth and greed for prestige, greed for position, greed for respect and greed for sense gratification can actually ruin us so much. And when there is too much money, too much wealth, it completely makes us forget the suffering of the poor, right? And we don't relate to how the poor feel. We just completely absorb in ourselves in the sense gratification process. So Narad Muni realized the problem of these two people, and he made them worse than the poor, helpless totally. And in that situation, they could experience, they could understand what it means to be wealthy and what it means to misuse one's power. So therefore, one has to be very careful what kind of association one holds, because the kind of association that one holds actually determines what consciousness one manifests. In the Niti Shastra, there is a very interesting verse which talks about how much one should keep away from wrong association. This verse, it compares how you should deal with animals, you know, different types of animals. This verse says, Hasta hasti sahastrena, saha hastena vajinaha, shringini dasha hastena, desha tyagena varjinaha. This verse says, Hasta hasti sahastrena. That means, how you should deal with an elephant? You should keep a distance of sahastrena. That means you should keep a distance of 1,000 hands from an elephant. And then it says, how you should deal with a horse? He says, saha hastena vajinaha. Then we keep a distance of 100 hands from a horse. Stay away. And then it says, shringini dasha hastena. Animals with horns, keep 10 arm distance from them. And then the last line is most important. You might wonder, you know, what nonsense is this? Suddenly, why Niti is talking about animals? Then it says, desa tyagena durjanaha. It says, keep a distance of a whole country from a man who is bad. That is the amount of distance you have to keep from the bad association, right? So that means here, Nalakuer and Manigriv, unfortunately, they were bad both, and they were giving association to each other to make them worse. So bad people, when they come together, they bring out the worst in each other. Somehow, that's the nature of the world. And, you know, Yaksha, when he was talking to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was asking many questions. And one of the questions that Yaksha, he asked Yudhishthira Maharaj was that what is poison according to you? And Yudhishthira Maharaj, he said, wants are poison. When somebody has a lot of wants, he's actually carrying poison within his heart. And here, Nalakuer and Manigriv were living in a life of wants, unlimited resources, and not knowing how to use them. And therefore, that poison of wants came out in the form of those disrespectful words. And the disrespectful words turned into a curse. So it's not that Narad Muni cursed, but their own words turned into a curse and they became trees, right? So when we do something, it's not that somebody else is the cause of our downfall. But rather, when we do something wrong, we are the cause of our own downfall. In the Mahabharata, you know, it is a very nice understanding which says that when a person makes another person cry, Govindpur keeps telling this all the time, when a person makes another helpless person cry, the tears of the helpless person drown that person. So that means when you try to act inauspicious, or to try to create havoc in somebody's life, what happens is that it boomerangs into our own lives. That's what happened to Nalakoyar and Manigreev. And this attitude of glorifying oneself, this attitude of being proud of oneself, is actually like drinking salt water. You know, Radhana Swami Maharaj was mentioning this. A very interesting concept. He said, self-glorification is like drinking salt water. It makes you more thirsty. You're not satisfied only. You want more and more and more. How much ever you drink salt water, your thirst will never be quenched. It will only increase in magnitude. And therefore, another very nice understanding that comes out from this particular story is, this is an unseen thing running throughout the story. What is the unseen thing? The blessing of a sadhu. The whole duration of this story, the kind of undercurrent that is running through this is the blessing of a sadhu. Narad Muni, he blessed these two people in the form of a curse. So whatever a saintly person does, whether it is a curse or it is a benediction, it's a blessing only. So we have to learn to appreciate the presence of a devotee in our lives. Therefore, you know, Krishna in the Gita, he says, Brahmanda Brahmitaji Kona Bhagyavanaji Guru Krishna Prasadipai Charanjaratamat Bhakti Lata Beach Guru Krishna Prasadipai Brahmanda Brahmita. That means when you travel across the universe, Brahmanda, across the universe, then what happens? Sometimes you might get Guru Krupa. But here, something opposite is happening. Guru Krupa is running after these people. So Narad Muni, Nalakoyar and Manigreev didn't move around the universe to search for Narad Muni. Narad Muni is traveling around the universe to search for them. So he is in a constant move to search for people who need him. This is how devotees are. So Krishna is saying one thing, that you have to travel around the universe to find a devotee. But the devotees, they don't have patience to wait for somebody to come and meet them. They start traveling around because they become so helpless, so disturbed by the fact that people are suffering, right? And sometimes when a devotee interferes into people's lives, it seems that it is interference. What's wrong? Why is this person pestering me all the time? It's not interference. It's actually compassion. And Narad Muni here, he became angry, but his anger was actually only to benefit these two people. So many people might think, if you study this pastime, that Narad Muni was envious of their wealth. You know, these people were wealthy, they were enjoying themselves in a swimming pool with, you know, people whom he hired as women. But what is the point? Why is this person coming into their house, seeing them enjoy in their own place and cursing them and going away? Does it mean that Narad Muni is envious? You know, these people have too much money, I don't have anything, I'm a beggar, you know. So let me curse these people and they'll become worse than me, they'll become trees. Is that the point? That's not the point. So when somebody is filled with Krishna, he is much more richer. So the wealth of Narad Muni was not an external wealth, but it is the wealth of Krishna being within his heart. And that was the wealth Narad Muni wanted to share with these people. So the way he shared that wealth is, first he stripped them of the wealth that they are proud of. And only when he stripped them of the wealth they were proud of, they were ready to take this wealth. So only when you are a beggar, you need charity. If you're not a beggar, why do you need charity? So first thing Narad Muni had to do was to make them beggars in the form of trees, when they were helpless, with nothing. And then Krishna gave the charity in the form of himself. And actually Narad Muni made them so helpless. You know, like some of our devotees, you know, one devotee I'm seeing for the last few months is having a fracture in his leg. So fractured leg is actually a sign of helplessness. Just imagine somebody has a fracture in his leg. He can't move. He can't walk. He can't stand, you know. So helpless. Like one boy, he came yesterday to one of my programs and he had a fractured leg. So he was standing with, you know, these crutches all the time. So he leaned on a door, you know, and he left his crutches. Suddenly the door moved And he was like practically falling, you know. So, and you know, people were catching him. And he, his background is that he's a yoga teacher. He's an instructor of people how to be physically fit. I was realizing how helpless he is. So when somebody is having a fractured leg, it's very helpless situation. So Narad Muni, he fractured these two people's both legs. They can't walk, stand in one place for thousands of years. So just imagine the controllers of the universe having fractured leg, not able to move around. In the heavenly planets, fractured leg don't happen so much. So Narad Muni had to send them to the earth and create a different type of fracture. And that too, he created a casting also around them, you know. The tree body was a casting. And in that helplessness, they actually could take shelter. So the interesting point was, they were bathing in Mandakini Ganga. And Mandakini Ganga is supposed to purify you. But the devotee's words can purify you more effectively than the Ganga water. So the curse of Narad Muni purified Nalakuvera Manigriv much more effectively than the full drench in the Ganga water. Right? So that's how the devotees are. So auspicious and so much relevant to our lives. And therefore, compassion, it is said to be a solution to all problems of life. There's a very interesting verse in the Niti Shastra which says, Parokaram, Paropakaram, Yesham, Jagati, Hridaye Satam, Nashyanti Vipadesh Tesham, Sampadasya Pade Pade. This verse, it says that those who work for the welfare of others, to show compassion to others, and to benefit others, such people, their problems will be solved automatically. Very interesting, you know. People are trying to solve problems of their lives. So this, the nitis, and here, this, with this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the recommendation, how to solve the problems of your life, show benefit to others. Help others, all your problems will be solved. And you try to only benefit yourself, you land in more problems. So Nalakuvera and Manigriv were only trying to help themselves and enjoy themselves. They landed in big trouble. But when you show compassion and help others, all your problems also get solved. So knowledge, and especially the mercy of a devotee, is so important, which is, I said, is the undercurrent of this whole story. So the mercy of the devotee comes in so many ways. It need not come in one particular way. So material science, the way in which material science works is that irrespective of the giver, irrespective of who is giving, the thing that is giving is important. You know, if somebody gives a diamond, if a beggar gives it or if a rich person gives it, who gives it is not important. The thing is important. But when it comes to spiritual sciences, irrespective of the thing, the giver is important. Therefore, you know, many times we find that people, devotees, are so much, you know, addicted to small remnants of great devotees. I've seen soap used by a great devotee. Soap. I mean, when a soap is used, it becomes small, it becomes useless, you throw it away. But when the same soap is used by a great devotee, that becomes the most valuable thing. You keep it on the altar, worship it as if it is your life and soul. Now, it doesn't make sense. And it is invaluable totally. But because it is used by a great devotee, the thing becomes valuable. The giver becomes valuable. Because the person who is giving is important, what he gives, we don't care. Because through that thing, what comes in your life is the mercy of the great devotee. And therefore, Narad Muni in this particular case, he gave a curse. So the curse is not important. Who gave is important. Narad Muni gave, therefore it is good. Right? That's how we try to understand it. And the situation of Krishna is so unique in this particular place. Krishna is considered to be Triguna Tirtha, the one who is free from all the modes. But the person who is free from all the modes, he is bound by ropes. And what is Krishna teaching us here? I was just thinking a little bit about it. Something really very nice. Krishna is dragging the wooden grinding motor and he is throwing down these two trees. So what is he doing is that he is using one wood to destroy another wood. The wooden grinding motor is made of wood and the two trees are also made of wood. So he used one wood to destroy another wood. What do you learn from it? The understanding that we learn from it is the verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Mamchayo vibhicharena, what is the second? Bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunan samati tetan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. This is what I personally felt, you know, that we can learn. He, Krishna, used wood to destroy wood. We can use the material body to destroy the material body. There's a very interesting verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which says that Venu Sangarsha Jhavanir Dagdva Samyati Tadvanam Evam Guna Vyatyaya Jo Deha Samyati Tatkriya. It says, just like two bamboo, when bamboos come together and they rub each other, what do they create? They create fire. And what does the fire do? The fire destroys them. So similarly, the Bhagavatam is recommending that use your material body to destroy your material body. How do you do it? Engage the material body in the process, in the fire of devotional service. And when the fire of devotional service is performed, your material body gets destroyed. So I was thinking, how apt this is. So Krishna is using the wood to destroy the wood, to indicate to us, you have to use your material body to destroy your own material body. And that is, and again, you know, when anything comes with Krishna or Guru, it actually becomes Krishnaized. So the wood, the ukkal, the wooden grinding motor, it has no power of its own. But because it is in touch with Krishna, it becomes as powerful as Krishna. For a wooden axe to cut another big piece of wood, unless it is in the hands of a powerful person, the wooden axe is useless. Similarly, when something insignificant of this world is in the hands of the Supreme Lord, that insignificant thing becomes most auspicious also. Like in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam where Krishna is meeting Sudama, this garland maker. So Sudama asks one question to Krishna. He meets him. Sudama asks Krishna, then my dear Lord, what can I do for you? Krishna tells him, so very simple. He tells him, use your intelligence and do the right thing. Krishna, previously he asked the washerman for clothes. He asked. The washerman didn't give. So he cut him. So Krishna didn't want to take more risks, you know, asking more people for things directly. So Krishna told Sudama, you use your intelligence to do the right thing. So he expected Sudama to use his intelligence and do what is right. So similarly, all of us, Krishna gives the free will. We have the material bodies which has given us. How to use this is up to us. You use it, do the right thing. And when Sudama used his body, used his intelligence and made a garland for Krishna, Krishna gave him unlimited benediction. And Krishna told him, just see, Krishna told him, ask anything. But after Krishna told him, ask anything, still Sudama asked the right thing. This is a devotee, very loyal, right? So Sudama said, I want three things from you, my dear Lord. First is friendship with your devotees. Second is devotion to yourself. And third is compassion to other living entities. Somehow, compassion is such a common theme in every devotee's consciousness, right? And I'll just end with this understanding that Krishna is a very non-traditional person. Whatever he does is so non-traditional. Here, he delivered these two trees, cut trees using a wooden grinding motor, right? And there are many examples in Krishna's life where he did things in a non-traditional way. Running away from a battlefield, very non-traditional, he did it. And everyone is waiting to fight a war. He is cooling discussing Bhagavad Gita with Arjun, era. 45 minutes, bindas, era. Very non-traditional. And Krishna made Arjuna a sannyasi to marry his sister, era. Very non-traditional. Does anybody do that, era? And just see, Krishna made Arjuna become a sannyasi and he told his sister to serve. Of course, Balramji told, but he organized it. You don't do that. It's very non-traditional. Krishna married women, 16,000 women, who were considered to be unfit in society. Very non-traditional. Krishna lifted a hill to become an umbrella. Very non-traditional way of protecting yourself from rain. And Krishna, he became a cowherd rather than becoming a king. You know, just an ordinary cowherd. And of course, Krishna killed his own uncle, non-traditional. So Krishna, whatever he does, is non-traditional, but whenever he does it, he becomes known as auspicious, he becomes known as the person who is always doing good to others, he becomes known as the controller, and he becomes known as peaceful. Hare Krishna. So it's already late, we'll not have any questions. Very grateful to you all for your kind patience listening. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.